ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. The wind has blown it. Canto 5, Chapter 1. Today's text number 41. It is the final text in the story of Maharaj Priyavrata. Thereafter we move on to the story of Maharaj Agnidra. That's for tomorrow. Please repeat. Bhomam Divyam Manusham Cha Boham. Bhomam divyam manusham cha mahitvam karma yogajam mahitvam karma yogajam yash chakre nirayopamyam Yas chakre nirayopamyam Puru, sorry. Purushanu jana priya. Purushajana priya. Translation. As a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had received by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary system or in human society. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. There are different types of opulences on earth, in the heavenly planets, even in the lower planetary system, known as Patala. A devotee, however, knows that they are all material, and consequently, he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate, sometimes yogis and jnanis voluntarily give up all material opulences to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. One must have a superior taste in spiritual life, then he can give up material opulence. Maharaj Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss, and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher, or middle planetary systems. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahinam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha. Hey Krishna's Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jayatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So by the grace of Guru and all of the assembled Vaishnavas, may I say something which is meaningful and appropriate. So this Maharaj Priyavrata, he's an extremely exceptional person. Extremely exceptional. We as devotees of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we can say confidently that we have also met a similarly extremely exceptional personality, whether we have met him in person or met him through the media or books, it makes little difference. But we have met him. That is, that person is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So on account of meeting this personality, Srila Prabhupada, our life has changed forever. We have come from materialistic background, mundane consciousness, to the platform of Vaishnava and Vaishnavi, whereby we are totally cleansed of all sinful activities, all nonsense desires have been flushed away, and we think only of going home back to Godhead. This is actually the desire of all the devotees. So we are reading a book about someone who existed many millions and millions of years ago. It is beyond our comprehension when this actually took place, during the early part of Lord Brahma's lifetime perhaps, or maybe he was older, I don't know. So to meeting such a person, such an extraordinary personality, is a great rarity and a great opportunity. So now we have got this opportunity, we should hold it with all our strength and never depart from the path of following in the footsteps of such a great devotee as Srila Prabhupada. So this Maharaj Priyavrata, he is remarkable for not only his spiritual attainments. He was the disciple of Narada Muni, favorite disciple, you could say. So that in itself is a great qualification. But he was also the grandson of Brahma, and he was asked to take charge of Brahma's duties and take care of the development of the material planets. So that's not a small duty. The mind boggles at the amount of administrative affairs that would have to be conducted in order to do that. And we have read about his famous driving of his chariot whereby he created seven oceans and he established a system of I'm not quite sure the technical term, but he divided the land up so that people would live in different tracts of land according to their qualifications, so that there would be peace. And then we have read about his marriage, and his he had several children. And the coming story will deal with one of his children, Agnidra. And such are the glories of a great devotee. And he was a great, not only devotee, he was very, very advanced in tapasya. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us about the nature of devotees. One verse is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatta Shuvairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahaitukam. Now these qualities of jnana and vairagya, they automatically come to the devotee. The devotee does not have to struggle by pressing his nose or standing upside down with his head in the sand for long periods of time, or standing on one leg. We all know the famous stories of Ravan, Hiranyakashipu. They perform these kinds of strange austerities simply to get some power. But the devotees automatically get this power. But they don't get the power to rule the world for the purpose of their sense gratification. They get that power so that they can fulfill the desires of the Lord, that human society and everything that goes on in the material world should be performed nicely according to his desire. Of course, Krishna's desire is that all of the living entities, as many as possible, can be engaged in Krishna consciousness and go home back to Godhead, or at least they can begin their journey back to Godhead. In this regard, we can look at the example of Srila Prabhupada, and we can see how his mission, his formation of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it started off so small, so humble, so insignificant, 26 Second Avenue. Or even before that, the chanting in Tompkins Square Park. So from that humble beginning began a huge empire of devotees, which is spreading across the globe. And if only we could live long enough to see the ramifications and results of all of this preaching, it would be a wonderful thing. But it is enough if we can simply stick to our vows, stick to the lotus feet of our spiritual master, and simply push on this movement up until our dying day, and then Srila Prabhupada will take us home back to the spiritual world. That is his promise. So it will be please Krishna the most if we qualify to go home back to Godhead. Krishna is waiting for all his wayward living entities who have spent so many lives in the material worlds, taking birth in this body, in that body, 8,400,000 species of life. We have seen it all. Now we have got this human form and we have got Krishna consciousness. Krishna will be so pleased if we make that final leap back to the spiritual world. Krishna is waiting. Krishna is Rasaraj. He is the king of relationships. So all the living entities represent individual types of rasa or relationship which he can experience. So when the living entity is away from the spiritual world in a fallen condition, Krishna is deprived of that enjoyment. So therefore, Krishna is eager, more eager to see us return to the spiritual world than we are to go there. Instead of wanting to go there, we get sidetracked with so many things. Instead of concentrating on shastra and sadhana, maybe we get involved in other things, materialistic things. So as devotees, we should keep ourselves fixed on this track, be a one mind, one track mind. We should have a one track mind for going home back to Godhead. That is the path to success in Krishna consciousness. Such kind of mind, we saw that Priyavrata, he has this one track mind. He's like a Superman. Whatever he does in perfection. And we are learning here that as a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata, he considered hellish the opulences he had received by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or the heavenly planetary systems or in human society. So, I don't mean to criticize anybody, but we see in ISKCON, so many people join, so many people, they wear the cloth, they put the Tulsi Mala, but after some years, they're driving a taxi in New York City or something like that. Maybe with honest intention, they're Grihastha, but this is the preaching force of ISKCON is reduced. So we're all guilty of this. I'm not pretending to be anything more than anybody else. But we must keep ourselves focused on the vows that we have taken before at the lotus feet of our spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada says one very interesting thing in Bhagavad Gita. He says that the duty of the disciple is to follow in the footsteps of the spiritual master. And the way that we follow the spiritual master is by following the four regulative principles. It's a very interesting split use of the word following. That we physically follow the spiritual master, but we follow him by following the regulative principles. As soon as we are not able to follow the regulative principles, we are not able to follow our spiritual master. We lose touch with him. He may be thinking about us, but we have that, at that time when we don't follow, we are not thinking of him. So this is a good point to remember, that if we simply follow the regulative principles and we observe all of the promises that we have made to our spiritual master, everything will turn out successfully in our Krishna conscious career. But if we are lackadaisical and we think that the regulative principles are not so important, we will fall by the wayside and become a casualty in the war against Maya. So we don't want casualties. The whole world is burning in the fire of materialism. So we can go all over the world for preaching purpose, to save the fallen souls. But we should not go all over the world or collecting money, building our empire, simply for our happiness. Oh, I did 3 years in the Brahmachari ashram, now it's my turn to sit back and have a nice place. No, we should keep going. Keep going full speed until the end of life. So that will please Prabhupada very much. I remember when I had joined ISKCON, there was a common saying that Srila Prabhupada had made Of course, most of his early followers, they were hippies. Hippies, not a word which means they were bad people. They were actually mostly educated from good families, opulent families. But they had become fed up with materialism. And so they had abandoned it. It was not giving them any taste. But their renunciation was a false renunciation. They would end up sleeping in the parks, taking drugs, engaging in illicit activities, thinking that this would be a new type of culture. But actually, Srila Prabhupada himself, he answered their cry for help. When he came to Tompkins Square Park, he started chanting the Hare Krishna, and they became attracted. And eventually this Krishna consciousness movement started. So many of these hippies who were addicted to sense gratification, that was their religion more or less, they became great devotees. Great devotees. We owe a lot to the early devotees who established the temples, who printed the books, and did so many things for Prabhupada to get this movement established. Even the principal buildings which we see here, the Long Building and the Lotus Building, they were put up by devotees who really didn't know anything about engineering or construction. So these are great landmarks of the early efforts by the devotees to establish something for Krishna consciousness. We should also do something great. Perhaps the greatest thing we can do is at least we follow the spiritual master with the four regulative principles and the 16 rounds every day and the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. That will please Prabhupada. But if we can, more than that, we can do something. We can open a center, we can build a temple, we can make many, many devotees. The Prabhupada will be very, very pleased also. So, Priyavrata, he himself, he was a devotee. He was not one of these jnanis or yogis. He was not interested in mystic power. Of course, he had amazing powers, which are beyond mystic powers. The powers that Maharaj Priyavrata had were not attainable by the yoga practice. If you go to the West, everybody's interested in yoga. I myself was also very much attached to the yoga practice. And as I tried different yoga studios, which one I like best, the teacher which I like best, I came later as a devotee, I realized there was something missing in all of these yoga studios. Very, very popular, yoga. Everybody wants to be thin and slim, beautiful body, very supple. This is because it increases one's material pleasure. The more attractive you are, the more friends you will have, there will be more opportunity for relationships and everything like that. So that's really the basis of yoga. It's nothing spiritual about it. It's all about increasing one's material enjoyment. So in these yoga clubs, they are practicing what is like a cut down version of what they call Ashtanga yoga. I think you know what is Ashtanga, the eightfold path of yoga. Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Like that, eightfold path. So in none of these yoga studios, I went to many all over London, in not a single one was there Yama, Niyama talked about. Nobody, this word never came. But that is the first thing in spiritual life, is Yama, Niyama. We must observe those things. We must observe basic spiritual practices. We must bow down before the Guru. We must touch our parent foot every morning. We must read scriptures, we must be clean. And niyama, well, you know, we have Jhanyama, these four regulative principles for the devotees. This is the first thing we observe when we come to the temple. We establish ourselves in this niyama. But in yoga, in the yoga studios, there is no niyama. Nothing. You do everything, whatever you like. I have never heard a single yoga teacher say that you refrain from illicit sex, or you don't eat meat, or you don't do that. Never. You will ever hear that. So just think how lucky we are. We have chosen this form of bhakti yoga, which is meant for actually going home back to Godhead. These people who are practicing yoga, yoga is very good for the body. It is an excellent form of exercise. No one should be advised not to do yoga. It is good. But none of the yoga teachers are telling to give up sex life, to give up meat eating, and all of these things. Follow four regulative principles. None of them are teaching these things. So Maharaj Priyavrata, he was automatically yogi from his previous life as a student of Vyasadeva. And because his practice of spiritual life under his spiritual master was so strict, he could never forget it. As such, when he was offered so many material opulences, he was never attracted to these material opulences. They were just like bits of broken glass to him. So Priyavrata is a perfect devotee. He should be an emblem for everybody. The material yogis, as we said, they're after some mystic yoga, something like that. But devotees automatically achieve these things. Srila Prabhupada, if you read the remembrances of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, in almost all of those remembrances, you can understand that Srila Prabhupada is reading the mind of his devotee, just like a book. You and I can read books, but we cannot read people's minds. But Srila Prabhupada, he could answer somebody's question practically before they asked the question. And, well, Srila Prabhupada never manifested yogic powers such as we have heard in the books, but he had the most important power. He had the power to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So that was his greatness as a yogi, you can say. So Krishna has explained in Bhagavad Gita how to go home back to Godhead. He has also explained to us how to avoid so many pitfalls. One of the greatest pitfalls in Vedic culture is to get attached to what is described in Bhagavad Gita as the flowery words of the Vedas. That is to say, all of the promises which are made that if you do this type of puja, you'll get this benefit. If you do this, then you'll go to Devaloka, and so on and so forth. So this is very, very popular amongst people of India. In fact, they're intoxicated by this. This is the main focus of temple worship. If you go to any temple which is not an ISKCON temple, the main focus is worship of devas or something of that sort, getting some benefit, some material benefit for the next life. So Krishna warns this, against this, that we should not take up flowery words of the Vedas. Krishna says, Kshine punye machalokam vishanti. When all of your punya, which you have achieved through this punya karma process, when you go there and you get the result, it is like a bank account. And you spend your bank account. Just like if you go for a vacation somewhere in Hawaii or somewhere. As long as your bank balance is good, you can stay there. But as soon as the money runs out, finish. So you have to come back home and you have to go back to your job and start earning money all over again. Similarly, with the pushpitam vacham, the flowery words of the Vedas. So that obviously is useless. Once, it's a true story, once I was in London doing a life membership, and we used to get to know many of the families who were life members. These families were of that sort mostly. They were very pious people, and the only thing they knew, because that's what they heard from the pundits, was this punya karma. And so we went, myself, another devotee, we went to a house just to pay a visit to see how they're doing. They're good devotees. I mean, in the sense that they were life members, at least they had Prabhupada's books. But they were punya karma vadis. So when we went inside the house, everybody was smiling. But somebody was missing. The grandmother was not there. They were all smiling. So we came to know that grandmother had passed away. So we said, we are very, very sorry for that. Let us do some chanting and some prayers for her departed soul. They said, no, everything's all right. Don't worry. I said, why? Why are you all so happy? And they said, no, Grandma, she went to heavenly planets. She went to Swarga, Swarga Loka. So they were all beaming, happy like this. But we had to inform them that that is very nice. Yes, your grandmother, she was very, very pious. And she did all the punyas, everything she did right. But that is not the goal. It's not permanent. That grandmother will have to come back to this material world. So they were a little bit not so happy to hear that. But we had to tell the truth. There's no sense to keep people in illusion. After all, they had become life members. They were members of society. They should know what Krishna has to offer. The Panditjis are offering this ticket to Swarga Loka by punya karmas, by which the Pandits also accumulate a lot of money as people are paying them for these things. It's not in the interest to see for the Pandits to see all their donors and all of their people who they are getting money from, to see them going home back to Godhead, because they won't be coming back. So they're not at all keen to promote that type of religious activity, but they would rather promote temporary benefit for these people. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that different types of worship produce different results. Here in Bengal, there is a very popular figure who has propagated the notion that whatever type of worship you do, it produces the same result. And the result is your choice. Jatoma tatopa. But Krishna directly, he rejects this, completely rejects this. In Bhagavad Gita, he says in 8th chapter, Yanti deva vratave devran, pitrin yanti pratirvataha, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti madhyajinopimam. So those who worship the devas, they go to the planets of the devas. Those who worship the pitris, they go to the planets of the pitris, the forefathers. And as we read a little bit more into Bhagavatam, we'll hear a little bit about Pitriloka, because the son of Devavrata, Agnidra, he is not quite of the same caliber as Devavrata. He's a little bit soft-hearted. So his wife died, I think, something like that. So he wanted to go to the planet, or she returned to the planet where she came from. He wanted to follow her. So in order to do that, he had to worship the Pitris. So that is coming up in a future class. So Pitri Yanti Pritri Vrataha Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja. There are many people in India who worship ghosts and spirits. This is a fact. There's a very nice story about this. I won't go there because I can't remember the name of the devotee. Patita Pavan, that's his name. He's an astrologer, very senior devotee, one of the first devotees in New York City. He was traveling around India, and he got invited by some yogi into his hut. And the yogi was very friendly, big smile on his face, but he had some strange things in his hut. He had like skulls, bones, all kinds of funny things there. And Petita Pavan, he was a little bit apprehensive, a little bit worried about that. So after a little while, the yogi, he started smoking something. And as he was smoking it, he was blowing the smoke in the face of this devotee. And as this smoke was coming in his face, he realized that he was becoming a little bit drowsy and he wasn't feeling good. And he realized, he connected all the dots, that the skulls on decorating the inside of this hut of the yogi, they were the victims, they were the previous victims of this yogi. And this is the way that he attracted, he lured them with a big smile and everything, but then he would anesthetize them with this smoke, which he had become immune to, but if it was blown in the face of some new person, they would eventually fall asleep. So he immediately jumped up and ran out of the man's hut, and he just kept on running and running and running. So, and that way he escaped. So there are a lot of people in India who worship ghost spirits, tantric type of worship, which is sinful, and it should be avoided. So bhutani yanti bhuteja, those who worship the ghosts and spirits, they have to take birth amongst those ghosts and spirits, Krishna says. But finally, Krishna says, yanti madhyajinopimam. If you worship me, you come to live with me. It's simple. It's just like Krishna's giving his visiting card. Come and see me. What could be nicer than that? I mean, how could you be more generous, more free, more welcoming than that? Yanti madhyajinopimam. Krishna says in many times how we can get home back to him. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veditatvata chakva deham puna janma naitimam iti sojuna. One who knows the nature of my appearance and activities, does not take his birth again in this material world, but he comes back to Godhead. So how nice it is, Srila Prabhupada, he's the devotee of Krishna, he's expanding this process of explaining what is the janma and karma of Krishna. And thereby, as we learn about Krishna, we become eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. And Krishna is inviting us. He says, don't go to these other planets. No wonder Maharaj Priyavrata was not interested in going to Brahmaloka or anywhere. He had to go because he was he was instructed by his grandfather. His grandfather was so clever. He had his arm around him and he was patting him on his head. My boy, like this. So Agnidra, he had nowhere to escape, nowhere to go. He had to follow the order of Brahma. So, but when his term of service was over, then what happened? Let me read in Bhagavatam that he immediately went back to his guru. Why? Because he was getting a higher taste. He was experiencing the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. What could be better than to be with one's spiritual master going on some fantastic preaching programs? So much excitement, so much bliss, transcendental bliss. And as it says here, as a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered the hellish opulences he had received by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planet systems or in human society. So Priyavrata, he could never forget what he had got from his spiritual master. His spiritual master had approved of his engagement in the management of universal affairs on a temporary basis. And the deal was that when that engagement was over, he would come back and engage in spiritual activities with his Guru Maharaj. So this is a story of success. It's a story of great importance for the devotees. We can learn so much. And it ends here in this particular verse. This is the last verse in this series. And then now we're going to go on to the activities of Maharaj Agnidra in the next class. So we'll finish there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If anybody has any question or comment, we can take it. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Why is there flowery words of the Vedas in the
Vedas? His question is, why are the flowery words of the Vedas in the Vedas? Why are they there? Well, because everybody is not on the same platform of realization. It's like a stepping stone, a ladder. So why is everybody not in the Brahmin caste? Why not everybody Brahmin? Because people have different qualities. According to the quality of your work, the nature of your physical body, that type of work is ascribed to you. And that is called Varnashram Dharma. That according to your bodily condition, you are ascribed a particular type of work, and you offer the result of that work to Vishnu. That is called Varnashram Dharma. When that person directly thinks of Vishnu and offers everything in his life to Vishnu, that is on a higher platform. And he's no longer in the Varnashram system. So similarly, different types of worship for people who have less intelligence. It takes very fine intelligence to understand that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, that there is a super soul in the heart, that my business is to get out of this cycle of birth and death. People cannot understand the eternal soul. Just to understand, it's a very difficult... Prabhupada mentions in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita that understanding the eternality of the soul is not an easy thing. There, as different strokes for different folks, basically. But that process, the flowery words of the Vedas, when someone gets tired of going and coming back and going and coming back, then he'll think, maybe there's something better than this. You know, maybe you get tired of going to Hawaii and back. You know, there's a better place. Something like that. So Krishna has got something for everybody. According to your consciousness, your realization, your ability to practice, Krishna's got everything. So therefore these things are there. And there is a cultural aspect also. With this punya karmas, there comes so much obligation, so much behavioral control that has to be observed. So that's why we see in India there is a strong cultural bias. Although people are not so religious, their culture is very strong still. And they're very, children are obedient to parents, they're obedient to school teachers. There's a sense of how I should behave, how I should behave properly. People have that sense in India, much more than in the West. In the West, they don't care. They can spit in your face. They don't care. So this is a result of so much graded religious practices, religious practices of different grades, of different intensity, and of different level of spirituality for different people. But ultimately, the intelligent person will come to Krishna consciousness. He'll chant the holy name of the Lord. He'll engage in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the highest pleasure. And it is the fastest process to go home back to Godhead. Yeah. There's right. They're not spiritually intelligent enough. Prabhupada likens going to the heavenly planets and coming back when your punya is exhausted, he likens that to the ancient Middle Ages punishment of the dunking stool. They take a chair and a rope and they tie the criminal in the chair and they dunk him in the water. There is a place in London, next to the Tower of London, where they used to do this. And they can show you the people who take you around, and you know, they show the tourists and everything. They can show you that place. Anyway, it's right on the edge of the Thames River, and they would dunk the criminals in and leave them there for a while. And if they could hold their breath long enough, when they took it out, they could take a breath like this, and then they would dunk him down. And this was the punishment. Ultimately, almost they got drowned, but it was a punishment. So going to the heavenly planets and having to come back to this material world and you know, work in Walmart, or you know, you have to work in a butcher shop or something, whatever it is, that's punishment. After you've been in the spiritual, been in the heavenly planets to do this mundane work. So it is like that. And sooner or later, the living entity, he retains his intelligence from life to life. You know that. Yad yad achriti shrestas tat tat eva charojan. No, that's not the wrong verse. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajat ante kalevaram tam tam evaite kontaya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Tad bhava means that nature which you had in your last life, bhavitaha. It again comes into being. So we accumulate a memory lifetime after lifetime. It's an invisible memory, but that memory will make you think, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I don't want to go back to that old practice. It's useless. So in this way, a devotee is made in this way, that the materialistic person will gradually accumulate intelligence through many, many lives. And the accumulation of intelligence will lead him ultimately to Krishna consciousness, and he'll meet a pure devotee. But many people have met a pure devotee. Let me tell you this one thing, that during my stay in America, my wife and I were preaching in America for many years. We met so many Indian families there, older families. They were professors, they were doctors, they were successful, they had money, they had houses, and they said, we would preach to them like, oh, you are so fortunate to be Indian, but how come you didn't hear of Srila Prabhupada? And they said, what do you mean we didn't hear of Prabhupada? We met Prabhupada. We met him. We went to the Rath Yatra. We saw him in the temple. We did this, and we even talked to him. And we said, you met him, you talked to him, you didn't become a devotee, you didn't take initiation from him. No, so sorry, I didn't do that, no. And this way, we met so many people like this. They met Prabhupada, they saw the movement, they saw the Harinam, they went inside the temple, they saw the deity, and they listened to Prabhupada's lecture, but they never became devotees. So unfortunate. Many people like that. Prabhupada said, nowadays it's easy for Indians to go to India, to go to America, but in those days it was very difficult. Prabhupada used to comment that only the biggest pigs, they can get over the river. Have you heard that statement? The biggest pigs, they can jump through the river and get to the other side. So those were the Indian businessmen of those days. In order to leave India and come to America and establish your business, you had to be a big pig. Lots of money, very powerful. So those people, they did not become devotees. And now they're old and infirm. Every meal they have to take so many medicines. They can't chant nicely. But they saw Prabhupada, of course. And now they appreciate in their old age. Think how lucky we are. We are young people, still young. And we saw him, we met him, we surrendered to him, or we surrendered to his representative in Guru Parampara. So we are simply following Prabhupada. There's a long chain of devotees, generation after generation. I read Prabhupada in a letter, he says somewhere, I never noted it, but this is, I read it. Prabhupada said that it doesn't matter if you are directly the disciple of the Acharya, or if you are 50 generations, 50, 50 generations separated from the Acharya. If you are in disciplic succession, you are connected directly to the Acharya. That's Prabhupada's statement. So there's plenty of time for us to surrender to Prabhupada and get connected, go home back to Godhead. Still there's about 10,000 years of time. If anybody wants to use up that time in foolishness and material, try to accumulate money and make your skyscraper, make your industry, there's still time. You can do it, but it's not advised. Best thing, become devotee, chant Hare Krishna, follow regulative principles, and become attached to Srila Prabhupada's movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There's plenty of room all over the world. There's so much space, so many towns and villages where you can open a center, you can have a little temple, you can do some preaching. Srila Prabhupada, let me just finish, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Prabhupada was, during that time in the early days in America, there was some dissatisfaction amongst these householders. The householders were not treated nicely, the married people, married devotees. They were considered almost like second-class citizens, and they went to Prabhupada and said, "What should we do, Prabhupada? We, you know, we just come as congregational members. We don't really have service. What should we do?" It's a big crowd of devotees, the men and women, husbands, wives. So Prabhupada said, "You go somewhere, you like it, you open a center. You open a center. You know everything. You know, you have the books. You simply start preaching. You have weekly programs. Then every twice a week you can have programs. And this way you preach and you make devotees." So then one of the ladies there, she put up her hand, "But Prabhupada, what about the ladies?" He said, "You also go somewhere, open a center. Start something, start preaching." So there's no restriction. Everybody has it's equal opportunity in ISKCON. You preach if you have the power and the enthusiasm to preach somewhere and give Krishna consciousness to fallen souls, then go out and do it. And it doesn't matter where you do it. You find some place, if you have a job there, or if you have a store, or you have a business there, then you allocate a certain amount of time, the weekends, let's say, and you preach, you invite people, you cook prasadam, and you offer the prasadam to Krishna, offer the bhoga to Krishna, give the prasadam to the people, and you make a congregation. It's the easiest thing in the world. It's much easier than running a big temple like Mayapur or Vrindavan. It's a big headache. These big projects are a big headache. But a preaching center is within the reach of every individual or every couple. And it doesn't matter if you're a young person or a little bit older. You have a house. You have some room. You have a living room. Turn that living room into a little temple one day a week. And you can preach. This is what my wife and I did for so many years. And it was very, very successful. Made devotees. And those devotees, so many initiated devotees there. Then you'll find, once you've started preaching, that you get on the map, all these swamis, they want to come there. So you'll get the phone. Every week there's a phone call. "Oh, I'm Swami so-and-so, I'm coming to your area. Can I give class? Blah, blah, etc." So you invite them, and the swamis will come and give classes. And then next thing you know, you have 40, 50, 100 people. It's as good as a temple. You can do that. You can do that anywhere in the world. Nothing to stop. Prabhupada has ordered it. So there's so much opportunity in Krishna consciousness. Every reason to feel that I can do anything for Prabhupada. So we are not Priyavrata, but we are humble souls, servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. But we can do something. If we do something, if we make one person into a devotee, Krishna will be pleased. But if we sit back and say, "What can I do? What can I do? I can't do anything. I'm useless." No, never think like that. We know everything. So I think I'll finish there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Bol.